What a pleasure to see the sway going on. Worshiping the Lord. Stuart's got his shades. Are you riding the motorcycle already, Stuart? Figured. Jumping the ditches or... He didn't mean that, Mom. You watch it, you know. Oh, yes, with the Spartans are in the house. You both running? What a way to celebrate. Roll in the mud, climb the walls. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. She still think your tractor's sexy? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Yes, memorable moments. Thank you, Jesus. I tell you the truth. Jesus said, I tell you the truth. Lord, open our eyes of our understanding and reveal the truth. Today, Lord, you said just to be an open vessel because you're ready to pour in. And we know, Lord, that you... as we worship you, accomplish abundantly above and beyond what we can hope or imagine. I just pray, Lord, that more of your truth will pour into us now, that the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart will be acceptable to you, bring glory to you, and power to all of our lives. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. In John 16, verse 5, Jesus said, I'm going away to the one who sent me. And none of you is asking where I am going. Instead, you grieve because of what I've told you. Jesus said this. Think about that. None of you ask where I'm going. Instead, you grieve. You know, sometimes it would be wise for us to just say, Lord, where are you going with this? I was reading this morning about when, after David became king, he sent a delegation of people to the king of, I think it was Ammon, and because the guy's father had always been good to him, and so he wanted to go and be good back to him, and they got there, and some unwise counselors came to the king and said, you think he really wants to be good to you? He sent spies. He wants to take us over. And so in response, they embarrassed David's men by cutting off their robes and shaving their heads. And you know, I thought about that and I thought, now, after that, of course, when they found out that they had embarrassed David and that they had made David mad, they immediately hired an army to help him. Hiring an army to go against David at the time was not brilliant. And 100,000 soldiers ultimately died or more because of that. And I thought, what if they just would have gone to David and said, I took some bad counsel. I'm really sorry. Can we start this over? But that isn't what they did. Sometimes we jump to conclusions. Sometimes we jump. And, well, the thing is once we jump, we can jump back. If we'll jump back. And Jesus affords us the opportunity to jump back. He affords us the opportunity to make it right. Old things can pass away, all things become new, you know, that sort of thing. And so, Jesus said, in fact, it's best for you that I go away, because if I don't, the advocate won't come. And if I do go away, then I will send him to you. And when he comes, he will convict the world of its sin, of God's righteousness, and of the coming judgment. The world's sin is that it refuses to believe in me. Righteousness is available because I go to the Father, and you will see me no more. Judgment will come because the ruler of this world has already been judged. You know, the world's sin is that it refuses to believe in me. And maybe if we would see it as our sin when we don't believe in him. It's not just a lack of faith to not believe in him. It's a sin not to believe in him. That's not a condemnation. That's just sometimes we got to see things the way they are. You know, when I raised children, sometimes they had to see things the way they were. Our little dog, Mia, she just sometimes forgets that she needs to come when you call her. Her little nose will catch something and she'll just start wandering off. 9 times out of 10, you whistle, boom, oh, hello, I'm back. But that 10th time, it's just like, who are you and what do you want? I'm on a scent. I've got to do this. I'm going to go where I want to go. And when she does come to her senses, it's like, oh no, I'm in trouble. Well, we need to come to our senses spiritually if we have lost our attention span. And when we do, what does God do? Does he condemn us? Does he say, oh, you're so stupid? Oh, you are just such a fool. I don't know if I'm going to take you back. No, he doesn't even mention what we did. He just, because it's up to us to mention what we did. Once we mention what we did, then all he says is, okay, come on. That's what the Lord says to us today. That's what he says to us every day. Come on. Come on. Whatever it is, just come on. He said these things. I didn't. He said, just come unto me. Just come. It's the same. When that dog messes up, she doesn't want to come because she thinks she's in trouble. And I just want her to come. It isn't going to do any good to beat her once she gets there. I think about it. But the biggest thing is, it's just come. Oftentimes, once she does come, you know, give her a treat. Well, she listened, but she didn't listen first. Well, we don't always listen first, but when we do listen, what does God do? He gives us a treat. He calls us back. Well, he said, if the Holy Spirit doesn't come, then you won't know the truth. Because no man comes to the Father but by me, Jesus said, and no man can come to me unless the Spirit draws them. They're a team. But now some have taken that to the place that they've got this idea that everything was predetermined. And so you aren't going to get saved unless the Holy Spirit has already decided you're going to be saved, and maybe you're one that is not supposed to be saved. That's absolute blasphemy. It absolutely is, because everybody's been invited. There's nobody that's not supposed to be saved. And people say, well, what about when God hardened Pharaoh's heart so that he, you know. Well, Pharaoh was headed in that direction. If you're headed in that direction and you're determined to go in that direction, there's nothing you can do but be prayed for and have people praying for you. But that isn't because God said, well, I just don't want this one saved. The Holy Spirit has come to draw all people unto the Lord. Jesus said, if I be lifted up, I will draw all people unto me. So everybody's being drawn. You know, sometimes some of these things you go to, you sign up for a prize, but you got to be present to win. And so if you walk out, Fred did that last year. I guess he's done it 2 years at the VentureCom meeting. Left, and then his name got drawn. So he won, he just didn't get the prize. Well, all people have won, but only those who come get the prize. And so the Holy Spirit comes to open the eyes of our understanding. I never really doubted. I guess I didn't really give any thought to it about whether or not God existed. I went to church. I figured it was for a reason. I didn't doubt that Jesus existed, but I just didn't pay any attention to what he said. But the Holy Spirit comes to get us to pay attention to what he says. And the Holy Spirit lives in us and dwells in us to keep us paying attention to what he says. And only Jesus, I believe, he's the only one that ever, never missed what the Lord said. We, on the other hand, we miss it sometimes. We miss what we already knew. We miss, you know, it's when we say, I know, I knew better. So many of my jail children knew better. They will admit that they knew better before they started down the path that they got into it. They will admit that there was a time when they knew better. But they, like me, like you, like whatever, we may know better, but we can slough off what we know better if we want to slough it off. If we want to set it aside, we can. We can rationalize it, justify it. We can do all kinds of things. We can even say that the Lord told us, and maybe the Lord did tell us. Probably not. He doesn't lead us in a wrong direction, but he also doesn't reject us if we go in a wrong direction. If we call upon him, he will hear us. If we draw near to him, he'll draw near to us. He'll say, it's good to have you home. I mean, what joy to see a row of Smiths come in. It, you know, just is. I can't tell you how many times, Travis, when I've worshipped, I've seen you on the end doing a strong tower. I mean, you know, I mean, just the remembrance of it. We love you. And if you visit once a year, we love you. You're special and you're precious. We get to watch the children grow up. You're missing one. Where is she this morning? What?
France.
Ah. Oh. Oh, well. Bless her heart. Bless your hearts. And so Jesus says, there's much more that I want to tell you, but you can't bear it now. And when the Spirit of truth comes, he will guide you into all truth. And he will not speak on his own, but he will tell you what he has heard. And he will tell you about the future. And he will bring me glory by telling you whatever he receives from me. All that belongs to the Father is mine. And this is why I said the Spirit will tell you whatever he receives from me. Is it any wonder that there is such a resistance to the teachings of the Holy Spirit? Is there any wonder that the enemy goes overboard to try to get people to lose focus of the importance of Holy Spirit, of who he is, of what he does, of his ministry on the earth? Last week when I sent out the devotion, I got a response from a guy that he's an okay guy. He really is. But he wanted to point out that when Jesus taught the people of the Holy Spirit coming, he was teaching the disciples at that time, and it was for them. I said, oh brother, if we cut him off then, what do we have now? Then we've got to try to do this in our own power. Have you ever come to the realization that you're trying to do something in your own power? In a Spartan race, is there ever a time when you're saying, oh Lord, help? Or oh Lord, what have I gotten myself into? I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. I remember you posting that. Yes. What am I doing? I'm afraid of heights. Now you can leap tall buildings with a single bound. But you know, no matter what, we come to the place, if we're fortunate, we come to a place where we realize I can't do it on my own. And then if we're listening, the Holy Spirit is drawing us. And if we're not listening, the Holy Spirit is still drawing us. He does what he came to do. He does what he came to do. Jesus said these things. He said he will do this. He didn't say he might do this. He didn't say if you're lucky, the Holy Spirit will speak to you. He didn't say on a good day he will speak to you. He didn't say Thursday is your day for him to speak to you. He said he will. He will. Tuesday night, we had the joy of baptizing Jeff Damer. Okay, I think it was Tuesday, but maybe it was Monday. Whatever the day it was, they came. And one of the things that he talked to me about was, he said, you know, I want to know more. I got to know more because I got to have all of the answers if I'm going to talk to somebody about Jesus. And I said, what you have to have to talk to somebody about Jesus is what he's done for you. That's what you have to have. You can argue scripture until you're blue in the face and they're red in the face, but arguing scripture isn't what changes people. It's knowing what Jesus does, and once they know what Jesus does, then they want to know what he said. But it isn't about knowing every line that's in the Bible to argue against their points. If there's something that will actually break down their resistance, the Holy Spirit will give it to you. What you can find out is that as you're talking about how good the Lord is and what the Lord has done for you, that you will say things that you didn't know you knew. Many times I found out that what I said was scripture that I didn't know. Scriptural. I mostly am scriptural. Some are word upon word, line upon line. Some is just scriptural. I use Jesus as an excuse. He says it is written. God won't judge you if you paraphrase. If you're saying what the Spirit guides you to say, it will touch hearts. It will open the door. A neighbor told me last night, he said, just stick with him, Roger. Just stick with it. I said, you do realize that I might become a pest now. That's an invitation. God's given us an invitation. He's given an invitation to know his power through the Holy Spirit. Jesus said these things. This is what we have to remember. It's in red, so Jesus said these things. And if Jesus said these things, then these things are true, whether we're experiencing them or not. Whether we're walking in them or not, they're still true. That's it. And so if Jesus is our healer, isn't he, John? Whether our hip hurts or not, he's our healer. That part's true. That's just true. It's not up to us to try to question why the truth isn't taking place right now. It's up to us to know it's true. And I'm going to get into true. As we've had not near enough rain, oftentimes my prayers are, Lord, I know that you can grow crops without rain. But it would be a lot easier for everybody if there was rain. But you are true. You are true. Now I can say without any stretching of the imagination whatsoever, and I go to Pier a lot, every time I go to Pier, your place is prayed for. You, your family, your crops, because that's just something that's in my mind. The other thing that's in my mind is I really want to see that shop. I got to stop. But you know, I mean, it's If we could see everything, it would make it easier, but the truth of the matter is that seeing it doesn't necessarily make us believe it. But it's believing it that enables us to see it. We walk by faith, not by sight. But by faith we see. And so we do these things. We know these truths. So in a little while you won't see me anymore. A little while after that you will see me again. Okay? We have never seen him. Not in person. But we see the truth, and the truth makes us free. We see that one day we will see him face to face, but without the Holy Spirit, we can only know in part. We can only know in part, and only knowing in part is oftentimes very damaging. Because if we stop at knowing only in part, it affects our heart. Because if we can only go by what we can see, then we are religious. But the Holy Spirit leads us into all truth, so that when what we see is not what we want, what we've heard, what we desire, the truth says, go on. The truth says, you can handle the height. You may not feel like it. You may not like it. But the only way you're going to get down is to go down. But our confidence in the Lord says, all things are possible with God. Those aren't words. Those are reminders. Those aren't just words, you see, because sometimes you can say all things are possible with God, and a person who does not know the truth, who only knows in part, will say, yeah, I know that. I know that. I know that, and you can tell by the way they're saying, I know that, they're saying, I'll believe it when I see it. We have enough testimony in Jesus' life to believe everything is possible. But we don't believe everything is possible until we believe that everything is possible. So we can hear, one person can hear a testimony and claim it and receive it. And another person can hear a testimony and wonder, well, why isn't that happening to me? Why is that not my experience? God hasn't done that for me. God's never said that to me. Why, you know? What are going to be the results when we receive it or when we analyze it? The Holy Spirit will lead us into all truth. Now, there's no condemnation if we're not walking in it. I mean, there's no condemnation as we're easing into it. There's not even condemnation from God if we just back away from it. But it's what we miss that's the big thing. We don't want to miss anything. We don't want to miss anything because we want everything. We also don't want to miss anything because we want to have everything to share. See, I can say, Vicki asks me sometimes when we're watching the Spartan races, when you were younger, do you think you'd have ever wanted to do that? I said, I don't know. I guess I did a lot of crazy things. Probably if somebody had come along and said, we're going to go roll in the mud this afternoon, I'd have gone with them. You know? But if I went and I asked and I said, what possesses you to want to do that? You'd say, I just want to do it. My wife, okay. See, he who finds a wife finds a good thing. That's my wife's favorite statement. And finds favor from the Lord. Yes, oh yes, and finds favor from the Lord. So no wonder I'm so blessed. But you know, I mean, I could say that. It would be no big deal. But if somebody comes and says to you, Natasha, do you think I could do that? You would be an encourager, wouldn't you? You would say, oh, hey, I've got a wall you can practice on at my house. Come on out, let's work out together. You know, let's do that. Look, American Ninja Warriors, you watch that, you know, and it was like, I used to think it was sort of like WWF. I mean, I never even watched it. I just thought, gee, that sounds like, you know. And then all of a sudden you start watching it, and we're watching it now. Man, when we're watching it now, Vicky's jumping, and she's, oh, no. She's really into it, you know. And you find yourself sitting there going, you know, you hurt yourself trying to watch it, you know. But it's like, and now it's like there's training places and there's all that, and it's just expanding and exploding. All of these things are. And those who are doing it are the greatest encouragers to those who want to. And that's what we should be. That's what the Holy Spirit makes us. The Holy Spirit empowers us to be encouragers. To be a present help in a time of trouble. Because he will lead us into all truth. For now we know in part, but then we'll know completely. And so we might know part of something now, and then all of a sudden we know it completely. We know part of it completely because we don't know it all. But that encourages us to understand we can know it all. And we have a lifetime to get to know it all. And when we die, then we will know it all. But we won't be know-it-alls. We'll just be glad for the opportunity to know in part. And we just want to know the next part. Because of success, because of completion, encourages us for the next completion. Completing one Spartan race, I'm using you guys, okay? But I mean, it's such a perfect analogy. You know, there's wondering, I gotta guess, the first time, there's wondering. And maybe there's even a consolation in our heart. Well, even if I can't finish, I will at least try. But I'm going to do it. And then, gee, I didn't just do it. I did it pretty well. Now I know that I can do it. Even if they throw in an extra little thing. Vicky's thing with the Ninja Warriors is, what in the world? This is too hard. Who came up with this new challenge? You know? This time you're going to have to climb a wall 5 feet higher than the last one. Whatever. You know? But because we have this confidence, because the Holy Spirit gives us this confidence, we're ready to continue in the race. Run the race, Paul said, to win the prize. He was talking about the ultimate race where we're already guaranteed the prize. But he was saying, run the race. Get into it. Enjoy it. In the tough times, still enjoy it. Looking to the future, to the end, looking to the completion. Just, you know, keep your eye on the prize. Know the prize, the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. See, Jesus said that the Holy Spirit would lead us into all truth. We need to give proper respect and honor to the Holy Spirit because he's the Spirit of God. And so we fight the good fight of faith. We cast down the imaginations that exalt themselves against the knowledge of God. We press through the obstructions. We press through those things that the enemy puts up to try to stop us. We press through them knowing that we are more than conquerors through Christ who strengthens us. And then if you are more than a conqueror, then you are able to comfort those with the comfort that you've received. You are able to encourage it. It is possible. It is possible. Did you have anyone when you first decided you wanted to do this that said to you, Natasha, are you sure you want to do this? Do you really think you can do this? Sure. Well, because you knew you'd end up having to do it too. There will always be doubters. There will even be those when you've done it once that will just say, well, that's kind of a fluke. Or there would be those that would say, why do you want to do it again? Vicki and I used to be running. We had the idea that we wanted to run at least a half marathon or a marathon. And we were running and getting ready. And our desire that summer was to go down to Max Corner and run back from Max Corner. That was just that. And then she hurt her hip. And whether it was my own laziness or what, I didn't feel right about going ahead and doing it if she wasn't going to be able to do it. So I just ran, sort of ran. But I didn't go down there. I could have at that time. I could have. I could have done that, baby. I could have said, honey, drop me off. I'll be back. But I didn't. I quit at about 11 miles one time, just got out and came back, and 11 miles was easy. Not anymore. Not anymore. I about killed myself walking in union with Jordan when he was doing a 10-mile hike. I went to do 10 miles and I didn't take enough water. And I made it to our front yard and collapsed. And I'm going, gee, this is a little bad. Laid there long enough to get up and get into the house. And told Vicki, I just about messed up. Nobody was there. But I don't have to worry about that when it comes to the things of God. God will see us through. Because Jesus said the Holy Spirit, we would receive power when the Holy Spirit came upon us. That we could stand in the truth and that we would know the truth and the truth would make us free. And we have those times when we need freedom. We have those times when we need the freedom to just walk in the truth. We have those times when we just need a word. We just need the Holy Spirit to say, you can do it. And then we need to have the willingness to agree and say, yes, I can. I thank you, Holy Spirit. I can. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you. We'll be okay. We'll be okay. We'll be okay. We'll be okay. That's the way to fight the good fight of faith. Not, I don't see how it could happen. I don't see how it could work. I see other people, and I see what happened to other people, and because of what happened to other people, that's probably what's going to happen to me too. And pretty soon, we don't have a shot. Because we've given up on the one true God. He hasn't given up on us. That's the good news. But we, from time to time, we sometimes give up on Him. But He's never going to let us down. He is never going to let us down. Don't give up on Him. Never, never, never give up on Him. We never will, Lord. We won't give up on You. You said these things. You speak the truth. You speak it to our hearts. We receive it today. We receive it today in greater and greater measure. In Jesus' name, amen.